You are now tuning in to Nude Radio with your host, Kenny Heflin. And I am joined by the lovely and beautiful
Niley. Hey, y'all.
Thank you again for being on the show.
Absolutely. I mean, let's continue to do the things.
I can tell you that you're becoming a fan favorite.
But thank y'all. What are your fans called? The nudies? The nudists.
Correct.
The nudists.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Shout out to the nudists.
And as head nudist in charge, I'm a fan of yours.
Oh, I'm a fan of you too. That's why I'm here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You have great insight. You provide an amazing perspective. I think that you give, for me at least, a very objective view on many things. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's something that I kind of just by nature think in. I have the subjective, of course, because I'm human, but I also have like the objective, which sometimes be fucking people up because they'd be like, well, pick one. No, you kind of got to look at things
from some things are objective, some things are subjective.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I always love that you provide that for me because I feel like we see each other in a lot of different instances. So, yeah. But y'all, make sure to subscribe to Nude Radio streaming on all platforms where you can hear podcasts. Make sure to like and subscribe on Instagram and Twitter under the same handle at Nude Radio 101. Reach out to me on my personal page at Kenny Heflin on Instagram. And with you, Miss Niley, how can we get in contact with you again?
You can find me on Instagram and the Twitter at Jesui Niley. It is JesuisNiiLee. It's French for those that, you know, did the languages in school.
Do you speak French?
No.
Oh.
I learned French in high school. I learned Spanish in real life when I traveled. I know more Spanish than I do French. Je m'appelle, I'm a fail.
You need to be stopped.
Well, I feel like if someone spoke French to me, I can pick out the things that I know. And like, it is logged in my memory because I went all the way up to French 4. So I'm sure something retained in there. Can I speak it? No. But I'm sure that if I'm listening, I can tell you what somebody is saying.
What does just sweet mean?
I am.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Look at you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I am Sasha Fierce.
Period.
So Beyonce could have said, just sweet
Beyonce. Beyonce, yes. Beyonce, Beyonce, Beyonce.
Are you happy to be in Paris?
Yeah, are you happy to be in Paris? Are you happy to be in Paris? Can I have you put your luggage? Can I put your luggage?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Not Vera.
We can see you, your luggage.
Okay. It's better to go home. Bitch, what? Listen. I love my queen when she was young. She just said whatever.
Ruthless. You know what I mean?
And she didn't mean it.
Record it. Ooh.
But, y'all, there is a topic that I want to get into. For me, it's controversial as fuck. I've been seeing this term thrown around time after time for probably what the last 2-3 years. We'll push it back to 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Sassy. The sassy man. Mm-hmm. And how it has been weaponized to demean, degrade, and
dehumanize,
emasculate a man.
Mm-hmm.
And the perpetrators tend to be, in the spaces that we occupy, we are two Black people, right?
Mm-hmm.
We see it a lot on a lot of the podcast episodes, and we see it on the Instagram threads and all of that stuff. And it's usually when a Black woman encounters a Black man who most times speaks up for himself or speaks against something that she says, and he can then be classified as sassy. Mm-hmm. Now, there's obviously different examples because I've seen multiple. But when I see that and when I hear it, for me, at least as a gay man, it kind of takes me back to growing up and being, I guess, degraded by Black women for certain feminine attributes in the inflections of my voice or the mannerisms that I may possess. I mean, the list can go on. And when I think about sassy and when I see women use it towards straight Black men, at least, I kind of feel like it's rooted and coded in homophobia overall. Mm-hmm. Because it's being used to break them down as a negative, and whatever he could be doing, even though in a lot of times they may misuse it because he's talking back to them, it could be used as a bad thing. And so it's like, oh, well, shit. Is being gay or effeminate, like, is that a bad thing?
Mm-hmm. And are they synonymous?
Yeah.
When I hear people talk about sassy, there is a spectrum. It's the people that are overly, overtly expressive and sometimes borderline disrespectful, especially with their relationships towards other women. And then just a man that knows how to speak how they feel or talk about their feelings as a whole, where people will consider him sassy or effeminate. It's no different from someone saying, oh, you acting like a bitch. Mm-hmm. Or or a sissy, or stop acting like a punk, for all the, or bitch man, or all the other things that are used. I think sassy is just the new term this time. Mm-hmm. Where in some instances their sexuality is questioned to, hey, most men that act this way must be, or things that men do that should be done by women. Like, it's sassy if you smoke hookah. It's sassy if you get your nails done. It's sassy. I mean, I've seen the most ridiculous posts now of people just calling out, like, the most random things to say. We're realizing is that people are trying to learn how to describe characteristics, and what they do is name it something that is closest to their membrane that other people can recognize. Like, we know what sissy means. You're acting like a sissy. You're acting like a bitch. When people say you're acting sassy, for the most part, we know what you mean and what that's tied to. On the flip side is, hey, you ask for men to be expressive in how they respond to you, like, use your words. And I think that there is, like, recalibration of them not being able to express themselves, and now they're overly expressing themselves. And so now it's just like this teeter-totter of, on this end, you got people that can express themselves, and on this end, you have people that can't. I mean, like, can and can't. And then what happens is that now they're demonized for expressing themselves. But I do understand that most instances, is when they're being disrespectful, is when they're coined sassy. Like, when a man is going back and forth with a woman in a condescending kind of way, like, oh, that you being real sassy for going back and forth with a woman. I think it's fair for you to have discourse with a woman. I think it's fair for you to hold another woman accountable. I think there's an expectation of, like, hey, that's a woman, you shouldn't talk to her that way. You shouldn't hold her accountable. You shouldn't do the things. But what you're seeing is that, hey, There are stark, rigid guidelines of how men and women should show up, and how once that those lines are blurred, or people start to cross or bend them or abolish them altogether, that you are now ostracized for doing so. Mm-hmm. And as that ostracization happens, you're impacting other people intracommunally, especially those that are queer, and what that looks like for them, because then is it acceptable for them to do that same behavior, or is it just for straight men when they're trying to actually have discourse or have relationships with women? So like, I feel like it's a catch 22, like what you want.
I think that if they are, because it's usually in retaliation towards whatever the man did that they didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like if they're able to stoop and pick that low of calling a straight man at least sassy, if there's a queer person on the other end, they're going to get called the F word.
Mm-hmm. The same.
Because they're the same people that's going to still call you fat.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I think it's on the tip of their tongue. Like they can't wait to say it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they talk about allyship. Allyship is a myth. Even intercommunally, because I do think that there are some queer women that are also still ostracize the same type of men and call them sassy. It's the same. I look at like, I don't pinpoint it on cis hetero people doing the harm. I do see it predominantly with women against other men.
Mm-hmm.
Any sexuality you can employ, but I feel like language is important with people, especially with podcasts, that we recirculate new words. And here's the thing. People always talk about new words. That's language.
Mm-hmm.
It is all a construct. Like, all words are created. We create new words. And I think that people are still trying to grapple with how we describe things. So what happens when I'm describing this and I'm not actually being intentional with what I'm trying to say? Hey, I think that you're actually being extremely condescending. Hey, I think that you're overly expressive. Hey, I actually appreciate that you're expressing your emotions or whatever the situation is, and naming it that as opposed to a derogatory term that is now coined as sassy.
Mm-hmm.
And to a point where there are some people on Clubhouse saying it's a sassy apocalypse, a sassy nigga apocalypse. But then it's the same people that's like, I wish men knew how to express themselves or say that or answer the right questions or say how they feel. Yeah, now the end result is here. Now you got that.
Mm-hmm.
And now you don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're saying, well, now let's meet in the middle. Okay, well, I think that happens next. I think we were in a society where men didn't know how to express themselves, weren't allowed to express themselves. And then you rip the Band-Aid off and rip me out the plastic, bitch. They acting brand new.
Mm-hmm.
And so now they're expressing themselves, sometimes out of control, sometimes in result of disrespect. And of course, not proper therapy or professional assistance with how to regulate those emotions. Now you got the counter effect of that. So now deal with that and then try to pull yourself back. Like, okay, so now we have... I think it's a small sector, too. I think social media has this magnifying glass to make it seem like that this is a bigger thing than it is.
Mm-hmm.
I work in the world, in the commercial real estate industry. I don't see too much of this happening. My social circles, I don't see this too much. I just see this on either podcasts or on a Clubhouse or like certain social medias, but I don't think that this is a global pandemic,
mm-hmm,
or epidemic. I don't see that. I think when it comes up, it's a small subset, but nevertheless, I do think that is something to name about, like how terms that are used to dehumanize men, to emasculate men, are the same terms that are used to dehumanize and emasculate queer men.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Or belittle queer men, and essentially say that you're not a man.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they're aware of their intent of how fragile manhood is to most men. And by doing that, by questioning sexuality and labeling them something that is derogatory, what that does to the psyche of most men. And so now you're causing the harm. And again, like I said, I don't think that the blame is mostly on cis women. I do see this intracommunally as a whole, but it's typically between the dynamics between women and men. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that when women say that, and again, like they're usually weaponizing it to demean this dude, right? Mm-hmm. For whatever reason. Do you think that the root lies in toxic masculinity? That women, that most cis women at this point now are starting to weaponize against men?
And the lack of what is masculinity? Like, what is it? Like, when I think about what masculinity is, it's going to change from what my descriptions are and what your descriptors are. It's going to change. And so since we don't have a general consensus of what masculinity is it an energy? Is it an action? Is it a being?
It's all three.
Right.
You know.
If you're asking lay person, mm-hmm. lay human, what are they going to say about masculinity? They're going to say, like, somebody that can lead, pay the bills. Because I can lead and pay the bills. Or someone that is loud and boisterous. Have you ever listened to Jennifer Hudson?
She's real loud.
And boisterous. Mm-hmm. So, like, what does that mean? So, like, I think, like, when people try to use descriptors and they just give this blanket term of masculinity, I think the toxic part of toxic masculinity is that it too is coded in homophobia. Mm-hmm. I think toxic masculinity is homophobia. It's how you have these specific rules of what men should be and how to perform that type of gender. Mm-hmm. That you can't express emotion. You have to be rugged. If you're too polished, what? Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to be able to express your emotions. You can't show affection. You can't show intimacy, especially amongst other men. Mm-hmm. I believe with all of the over layering of social constructs, you have people redefining it as we see people abolishing it at the same time. Mm-hmm. So you have people saying, yeah, I don't subscribe to that form of masculinity. I no longer want to perform masculinity. And then you have people still trying to redefine it and say, and hold you to it. And most people are held hostage because they don't want to perform it. Like, I don't want to protect. Well, you hear that often. I don't want to protect all women. I only want to protect the women that I'm in proximity to. I only want to protect women that I'm dating or whatever the it is. But this idea of protecting all women is tied to whether or not you are a man, mm-hmm. or how you show up as a father depicts mm-hmm. of how you are as a man, or how you regulate your emotions as it pertains to any type of violence is how you are defined as a man. And so I feel like what we're learning now is, how do we start to communicate how people show up and what is the more healthier ways or positive ways to describe discourse in a way that it does not emasculate people? Because I think on the flip side is when men call women masculine, mm-hmm. it is to dehumanize, it is to belittle and to strip away a woman's womanhood, because mm-hmm. a lot of their identity is tethered to that. And it doesn't have the same ramifications, because there's the double standard, because you can call a woman masculine, that doesn't mean she's gay. It doesn't mean that she's a stud. Mm-hmm. Calling a man sassy gives that undertone that you might be a little questionable. Like, you might have a little sugar in your tank. Same thing.
What do you say, sus?
A little sus. It's yeah. being a little sus. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but why? Like, I feel like, to me, I'm from the South. I have, like, how I was taught is men don't argue with women. Men don't yell at women. Men don't hit women because of the power dynamic, not strength. Mm-hmm. But there's a power dynamic because we live in a patriarchal society. It's not like men are stronger than women. I know that there are some women stronger than men. It's not so much that, but more so there's a system at play that will prioritize men over women.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are rules that were created under that patriarchal society that governs how women are treated in this country. So now with that, when women know that, they use that to tear down that patriarchal society by stripping it away from you.
So in turn, would you, are you willing to say or agree to that being, it's true because it is. And also, I guess, entertaining the idea that women now using this demeaning term against men is an act of feminism?
No, I view feminism of equal rights and equal liberation of women and men, fair necessities of men and women. I don't see feminism as having to put men or dethrone men for the betterment of women, especially if you're going to still maintain the role that you play in the circle of life, quote unquote. So for example, if you're this woman that looks up for men to do these things, that you have these expectations for men to do these things, but then you chastise him for not doing these things and you call him sassy, but you still operate in that role, that's not feminism, because you don't care about whether or not you're equal. You don't care about, like I said, fair necessities. You don't care about those things. You just want to make sure that you're telling a man, essentially what you're saying is, man up, step up, do what you're supposed to be doing, or shut up and stop acting like a bitch, essentially. But that's not about whether or not you were elevated, seen and heard in that moment. It's more so of like, hey, I want you to know your place, and either you stepping outside it, upside it, downside it, around it, whatever, but you're not in it. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that has anything to do with feminism at all.
So it's not
like it, even if a person was saying like, I am a feminist and I think that you're being real sassy, well, then I think that that is, it's counterproductive to a conversation, a larger conversation to have with how men show up and how, what masculinity is and how that even shows up in women. So what are you saying amongst queer and trans people specifically that identify as men, how they can show up? So I feel like it's a larger conversation to have if we're trying to interject like feminism into this and what women's rights and non-men's rights look like, and why I would want to wield hurtful terms that, and I say I use hurtful because I know once men's identity is stripped away from them, how they respond to that, how they react to that, it could mean violence, it could mean death. You call somebody a faggot, you call him sassy, you don't know how he gonna respond. He might pop you off, like who knows. So I think that's counterproductive.
So it's not as a way to knock them down a peg or to humble them and bring them to their level?
No, I think it's just to knock them down in comparison to other men. It ain't their level at all. And if it is their level, then the bar is low.
I mean, the bar is low.
Imagine if you're arguing with me and I call you sassy and I'm only saying that to bring you to my level, then what am I saying about myself?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what level am I on?
You the woman.
Right. Ooh.
You have full agency to act that way and to do these things. He doesn't, because he the man.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a double standard there. I feel like men should be able to express themselves and express discontent, and voice any types of contention. I think there is a way to do that. Same for a woman. I think that she should be able to do the same. And there's a way to do that, especially if you are conflict resolute driven. If we just trying to cuss each other out, okay, so then both equal parties. But if I'm trying to be on the end of some type of resolve, I have to be mindful of what I'm communicating and how I'm communicating that. Me calling you sassy and how you doing it, that's an ad hominem. Like, we can attack the argument and not the person. So I'm not going to attack you and how you're showing up, but more so like how it's impacting me. And I think that I would get further in a conversation around, hey, how you're showing up and how it's impacting me is making me shut down. It's making me defensive. I don't want to respond. I don't feel heard. I don't feel seen. And then I choose to walk away from that in that way, as opposed to personally attacking you now, because that didn't do anything. I think that pushed us further apart.
Would you say that that could potentially be given too much credit to a lot of our peers within this generation to even think that deep into it, and learning alternate ways of having a constructive conversation and constructively disagreeing with someone, meeting halfway, meeting at the middle?
I don't know who to give credit to. Honestly, I think that's still a struggle for everybody. I think people still trying to navigate how to just be in relationship. People are still struggling with how to communicate. People are struggling with how to comprehend. I think it's one thing to communicate. It's another thing to understand what I heard. So I don't think anyone gets that credit. I think that's something that is a group project that we all work to achieve. I feel like I'm not the type to point fingers like, oh, this is a cis woman problem, this is a cis man problem, heterosexuals, queer people. I think I see this everywhere, where we're still learning, we're still unlearning. As times change, as social media changes, as TV change, as technology changes, as gender changes, I don't care what people say, gender changes. Yes, it does. Sorry to tell you. When sexuality changes, it changes. Sorry to tell you that. I'm so sorry. Read a book. As things are changing, I think we're seeing people have deliberate response to it. And sometimes it's reactionary. Sometimes it's resistance. Sometimes it's acceptance. And imagine having children in this world where things are changing so rapidly. And seeing how new lists of how men should show up come up on social media all the time, what that means and how that creates boxes for your children that, hey, you have to show up like this or they're going to call you that. And what if they are that? Is that a wrong? Like what? Like, I think that I want to live in a world where we're the most harm reductive. Like, I don't think that we're perfect. I think that we're going to hurt people. I think we're going to stumble along the way. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. But I want it to be the most harm reductive as possible. And I don't have all the answers. So if there's something that somebody can bring to my attention, yeah, bring it to my attention. If I care, I care. If I don't, I don't. But I'm going to sit with it. But I feel like I think that that is a group project amongst all people intercommunally as Black people. I mean, I'm talking to Black people predominantly when I have these conversations.
Yeah.
I don't know the plight of a non-Black. I don't know what they go through. I don't know them.
You don't?
I don't. Oh. I don't know them. I don't know who you are.
It might be time for you to reach out and touch a neighbor.
Ooh. And then they're going to call the cops. Now what? Right. Right.
Maybe.
Right.
I mean, you never know. I just think that it's funny that the fact that we do come from the ruling of the patriarchy, right? Mm-hmm. And how it's been used to keep women and femmes under their thumb. Mm-hmm. And now, when the more masculine energy wants to emote and express disinterest or vulnerabilities or whatever the case is, especially when it's, you know, something negative, that now the ones who were usually on the other end of being the ones that got the butt end of just good grace and just decency, they're now weaponizing it to pretty much declassify them as being attractive or desirable.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of, it's problematic, but also kind of funny.
And the irony is,
it's like y'all made a Frankenstein monster.
Yeah.
The patriarchy made a Frankenstein monster because now women are yielding that to be like, you know what? You unfuckable.
And the irony is they still fucking them. See now, as much as they do the making of the lists and the clocking of the tea, they're still fucking these men. Mm. Like back to that. Hey, you not a man, or are you a sassy nigga? You still in his DMs. So was it just for public scrutiny? It was public spectacle. Like, what was that for? And then I think, contrary to people's belief around whether or not queer people can also be harmful, it gives the scapegoat that it is okay for queer people to do the exact same behavior and not call it a thing. So if queer people are loud, belligerent, disrespectful, condescending towards women, it's acceptable because they're looked at as the girls anyway.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not acceptable. I don't like disrespect from anybody, especially men. I don't do yelling. I don't do fighting. I don't do any of those things. So like, what happens when that shows up in queer people? Is it not sassy because he's gay? So it's not sassy. He's just disrespectful, or he just doesn't have respect for men. So then why couldn't you call it that when a straight man did it? So I find the hypocrisies in that. And then again, it opens room for scapegoat of queer people that have and do the exact same thing amongst others, other women and trans femmes, cis women alike. Queer men have no problem cussing women out, call them all kind of bitches. Have no problem. Mm-hmm. Flapping, punching, snatching wigs. And it's not called sassy because they're gay, right? But then when you think about queer men, most people look at queer men as not men.
Mm-hmm.
You're not a man because you're queer. You're a queer man, but you're not a man. You know,
What about when we see trans women weaponizing the F word towards cis gay men?
Okay. Okay. So I'm an old school girl. I use that word. It's really not in my lexicon, but when it is used, it's to describe a particular type of person. Like for someone that is extremely messy, extremely seedy, extremely like it's overt, and it's negative.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be queer, trans, whatever, like, oh, that's a faggot. Like, you acting like that is a faggot. Not typically how straight people wield that to queer people as a whole. Like, collectively, we're all faggots.
Mm-hmm.
I think the point of contention is who has ownership of the word, who can reclaim it. And I understand and I hear queer men say, well, trans women are women, so we look at you as women. So when you say faggot to queer men, it has the same impact. Mm-hmm. I beg to differ.
Or butch queen.
Yeah, I think that it does impact, yes, but then I think that talks about your masculinity and how your masculinity is wrapped up and how you view it. But the world still views us as faggots too. Me, I am still a boob job away from Big Frida. Like, we're in the same category, essentially, to how cis people view trans people.
Mm-hmm.
We're no different. I just have boobs.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what's in my pants, but for the most part, I am just a more feminized boy. So we're all faggots. When cis people that don't mind being hateful out loud, they're going to call us all faggots. Mm-hmm. So I understand when queer people say, yeah, but trans women are women. I believe you to be women. So you are no longer a queer man. Mm-hmm. I hear it. It does not have the exact same impact how the world treats all of us as faggots mm-hmm. versus us intercommunally calling each other faggots. It's not the same. I do understand that there's hurt with that term. Get it. I understand. I've been called it too. I was the first faggot. But to the point of how we're describing people, and I think that it is even to say of there's a fear of how people show up in the world, and there's a lack of care when people show up differently outside of those parameters of what we've outlined for masculinity. There's an insecurity, there's a fear, there's an uncertainty, there's a lack of knowledge mm-hmm. around what does it mean when you do dance a certain type of way, you do want to do ballet, you do want to paint your nails, you want to grow your hair, you can do hair. What does that mean? And so in society, if I don't perform puberty the exact same way, I don't do sports the same type of way, all that, when those things show up, what do we classify those type of people? And so words were created to classify those type of people. Mm-hmm. And what does that look like intercommunally? I think it does a disservice to have an internal fight of like, who has the right for the word? Fine. You don't want to be called faggot. Understand. And it's not something that I wield loosely anyway. Mm-hmm. I understand. But to say queer people are the only ones that have the right to the word? No. Trans people are still called faggots to this day. Most trans people were called faggots before their transition and after. So it is what they call all of us inclusively. So that is one of the things where you realize a lot of queer people, especially men, are still grappling with their identity. Because they've been told that they're not men, that they don't fit into the world, they don't fit into society. So imagine the world telling you you're not a man, and then you have community also telling you that you're not a man, mm-hmm. and then you have the reverse effect of that. The same with cis men, you call them sassy, you call a queer man faggot, they're still fighting for their masculinity and trying to prove it.
And do you think with all that said, either when it's coming from the woman, when it's coming from the dominant masculine energy, that can foster some type of internalized homophobia within a queer man?
Yeah, because I think a lot of queer men don't realize of even just how they begin to define masculinity for themselves and for others and start to repress the performance of their own gender and project it outward. So I repress that I want to show up and be as more expressive as I want to be. So I project that you can't. Mm-hmm. So when you show up and you're more flamboyant or you're more elaborate, you're doing too much. That's typically what queer men say amongst other queer men, like, you're doing too much, you're too loud, you're too flamboyant, you just over the top. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you act like a faggot, you act like a bitch, like, why you act like that? Like, especially amongst the trade or the more mask presenting queer man.
Come on, trade.
Yeah. Child, baby. I think, like, the internalized part is that you still live in a world where people are trying to be seen and be heard, be accepted, celebrated, and liberated. And in a world where you were told that you don't belong and you shouldn't belong, mm-hmm. and that there are some states still that say, and countries that it is okay if you do not exist, people trying to perform a particular type of way for survival, be it in the economy, in the world geographically, but also trying to survive emotionally and mentally, mm-hmm. that these are things that they're doing, and they do internalize inherent homophobia that we've been indoctrinated within. So now what? Like, I think we have a larger conversation to have with how even intercommunally that there's homophobia, intercommunally there's transphobia, and how we do that harm amongst ourselves, which is why I think that it is a moot conversation to be saying who can call who a faggot. We have real life issues where queer men are still trying to show up as men and being denied that type of access. Queer men are trying to show up in masculinity and femininity and denied that type of access. What it looks like where if a queer man is saying, like, I want to express my masculinity and my femininity either simultaneously or as fluid as I wanted to, what does that look like if I go for a job? Can I get hired if I come in and my nails are painted? Can I get a job? So, like, what does that look like? And then these are the men of our community. And again, now they were also still taught and indoctrinated in the same ways that the straight men were indoctrinated. So now if they're the queer men of the community and you tell them they're not a man, how are they showing up for community? They don't.
So then as a trans woman, who do you look to in that absence?
I am a proud advocate of finding your tribe. So I've been monumental and intentional in building my tribe. So my support system, my community, my chosen family, my chosen children, even my biological family, I still choose them. I'm intentional with building my support system. I no longer have the notion that all queer men should show up for trans women, because they won't. I think that's a hope and a dream. All trans women showing up it's women and trans people doing the fight anyway. Wake that up.
Oop.
I don't have those expectations largely blanketed, but I'm an advocate for building your tribe. And I've been grateful enough to have an established tribe. I think I've been navigating this past year of the loose ends that I needed to tie in, because there were mostly new relationships that I was trying to find a place for. But my established relationship, that's my tribe. I know if it's safety, vulnerability, protection, money, educational, whatever I need, I got it.
Yeah.
And no, they don't play about me. Never gotten into a fight. I've knock on wood, never had a moment where I've been subject to harm or violence. Knock on wood, never felt like jail or any type of legal situations. Knock on wood, I've never had to worry about that. So I'm an advocate for finding your tribe. Mm-hmm. And I think if more people started to focus on building their tribes, there will be more tribes of people doing right by others. I think some will overlap. Some people allow each other to do certain other things. Like, I know that there are some girls that don't mind being called trannies by their butch queen friends. No, ma'am, don't ever call me no tranny. I'm a woman. The most I talk about my transness is on podcasts. If I'm in educational space, I'm a woman. Mm-hmm. I show up as a woman. Ain't no trans. The same way cis women don't say they cis women. We women. I know that there are different, you know, familiarities with when people are friends. They allow bitch, miss mamas, miss thing, girl, butch queen, femme queens. I know that there's some queer men who hate miss mamas, butch queen, who don't like to be called any of that. Got it. But find your tribe. Find it. Build it. Nurture it. Reassess it often. Because mm-hmm. there are a few people that I had to step away from. There are a few people that stepped away from me. Mm-hmm. Do what you need to do to find your tribe and be dedicated to nurturing that.
That is so important. And it's funny because I didn't know that until I moved to Los Angeles.
Know what?
Finding your tribe
mm-hmm.
and the importance of it.
Mm-hmm.
I had no clue. Because for me, I was just like, wait, I'm coming out here by myself, don't know nobody,
mm-hmm.
never been here.
Mm-hmm.
And the importance of finding your tribe, I mean, I remember I was like, wait, what? It sounds cute. Mm-hmm. But how do I do it?
There's this misconception because we're Black, we get along. We're queer, we get along. We're trans, we get along. Straight people don't get along. Huh? Like, cis women, they don't get along. Cis men, they don't get along. There's no general code. Mm-hmm. So when people say community, what community? Like, there's... We're shared identity. We have a shared demographic. We have shared stories. That's it. Like, and I think, like, when we talk about communities, what we're essentially saying, the collective, like the Black collective, Black people as a whole, as a demographic, but we're not in solidarity.
So you ready to abolish community?
I use it collective. I use community loosely because I know that that's what people can grapple with understanding. Mm-hmm. Like, I know, like, from, I use language for people to understand where I'm coming from. Cause like I said, comprehension is a big piece of communication. So when I talk about community, people will understand, okay, well, in this context, we're talking about Black people. Mm-hmm. In this context, we're talking about queer people. But when I talk about allyship and how we show up, I always wake up that allyship is a myth. There is no actual solidarity within the community. I think that is something I strive. Solidarity does not require community, but we're not even at the point where we're in solidarity. Like, we don't all agree. We don't. Amongst queer people, amongst the lesbians, amongst the bi people, amongst the straight people, amongst the trans people, amongst the non-binary people, amongst the disabled people, amongst the neurodiverse people, amongst all the different types of intersections, we don't all agree within those subsets. Mm-hmm. So ain't no community. I think that we have a shared identity. We're both Black. Mm-hmm. Shared identity, we all from Atlanta. Shared identity, we're all trans. That's our demographic. But as it pertains to whether or not we all move one band, one sound, no, that's not true, because none of us do. Mm-hmm. I think there are some cultures where they do, which, shout out to them, baby. There's one, I don't want to get you canceled, but there is one demographic of people that, baby, you say the wrong word, we all clipped.
Oh, yeah.
Those people, we leave them alone. I wish we could have that type of one band, one sound.
The power.
Ooh.
The power.
Yes.
Listen. No, I mean, you, again, hit on multiple parts. I think that it's important for people to use language to further their points, further their perspectives in a constructive way, instead of resorting to belittling someone, mm-hmm, when they disagree with somebody. Mm-hmm. And also learning what that root is and why you're feeling it's necessary to point at this person and say, you sassy, you a bitch, you a punk, like the words that you had, like, that's something that we need to give ourselves a little bit more time to really kind of just figure out, like, wait, why is it so easy for me to resort to that?
Because, mm-hmm, you wanted to in the first place.
Speak on it.
Yeah. Like, I think, and I'll say this, when I feel disrespected and I want to, and again, I'm saying want to, because it's a choice. When I want to go back and be disrespectful back, I'm clear of what is at my fingertips and why that is. I know that I'll become real classist and elitist really quickly. I'll result to my academia as I've never had to fight in my life. Some people fight with their fists. Some people shoot. Some people use their brain. So I have always been the person to counter violence with my intellect. Mm-hmm. I've been taught to counter violence with classism. And although we live in a capitalistic society, and I understand that capitalism is definitely harmful and it impacts people, especially Black and brown, queer and trans people, I'm clear of why that is for me, because I still subscribe to capitalism in a particular type of way. Yeah. When it comes to going and resulting to queerphobia or transphobia, I don't do that. I will if you start with me. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, so you set the parameters of okay, so you're attacking my transness, then I'm going to counter with, hey, but what about your transness? Or waking up the fact of what does transness look like in a way that it is still in, like, to spite you. Mm-hmm. Or when queer people try to attack my transness, I'm going to attack how you show up. So again, the entry point is where you started. I don't go there first. I don't go to your sexuality or your gender identity or how you show up in either. I will, in fact, go to ableism, capitalism, elitism, all those things. Because mm-hmm. that's how I used to fight off people in school. When I was bullied and picked on, I didn't fight. I couldn't get expelled or suspended. I had a single mom growing up, had a little sister. I couldn't get suspended for fighting because I had to be in school because I had to go pick up my sister from daycare or pick up, like, there are things I could not afford. So I had to learn how to be extremely witty, how to be smart, how to outsmart the smart people. Mm-hmm. That was my defense. And I've never had to get into a fight because of that. I have a very smart mouth. It is to a point now where people will call me condescending and belittling, and I'm not even trying, and it will upset me. I get so annoyed when folks be like, oh, you were being so condescending. I wasn't even trying. Mm-hmm. Give me more credit. If I was to be condescending, you would know. I was literally just talking. Mm-hmm. But here we are. So now I know that this is a skill that I perfected for so long that it has now become my first language.
Hmm. Have you ever wanted to fight?
Yes, I be wanting to fight. Ooh, girl. Ooh, this year. I wanted to fight. Jesus. Yes, this year. If mm-hmm. you, but I don't want to do violence because, okay, with how I was growing up, I feel the rage that comes through me, and that scares me. Like, I feel the amount of anger and hate and evilness that comes in me, which is why I really wish a lot of people knew where I came from and where I am. Mm. Because, baby, you got it off very easy for how you got it off. Mm. So appreciate that. And that goes to anybody. This is the growth. This is the growth of Nylee. Because, baby, there are moments where I want to unleash that motherfucking dragon. Mm-hmm. Because she's been in there. It is Game of Thrones. And I will give you Cersei. Yes, I will. Not with the ooh, child. The sleeping with the brothers and things. But none of that.
You know.
But I will definitely give you very calculated, strategic, don't fuck with me. Mm-hmm. And I know how that goes because of the things that I've gone through. It scares me. And so I try to, because I'm human. I have feelings. I have ego. I have all the things where people respond quickly without thought. I have that too. There are few and far in between. But yes, I've thought about fighting. I've thought about... I have two guns because mm-hmm. I don't fight. And I want to make sure I protect myself because I do have a smart mouth. So I do know that there's some type of consequence for the wrong person I piss off. And that is not by far a threat. I don't fight. I don't promote violence. I actually don't like to be violent. I don't even like being disrespectful back to people. I don't enjoy it. Mm-hmm. I'm an introspective person. So I even think about how I impacted people after the fact, even people that I don't like, I think about it. I harbor like, oh, I hate that I had to do that. I hate that. I don't like what that looks like in the mirror. I don't like that. But I will do what I need to get you the back the fuck up off of me. I will. It's fight or flight. And in school, I never had to fight because I always roll with the niggas and they was going to step. And I still do. They don't play by me. Mm-hmm. They don't. They don't play about Nylee. They don't.
You good in every hood?
I'm good in every hood. Yeah.
Ski. Shout out to Sexy Red. That's my girl. But no, I think that we did a fair job. I think that you did really well at just like really decoding what sassy means. Mm-hmm. I think it's for the people who use it as a term of negativity. It's for them to use their homework mm-hmm. and really see their inner homophobia, transphobia, biphobia, all the phobias. Mm-hmm. You know.
Sexism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Answer that. Look yourself in the mirror and really like, how about this? Mm-hmm. Do some research. Find new words. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love an expansive vocabulary. Like, talk to me. Give me the language. Tell me. Oh, you use that word. Oh, okay.
Put me on.
Yes. Stimulate my mind.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, is that your ending message?
Yes. As we are learning language, as we are unlearning old language, I think it is a right, it is a responsibility of us all to be intentional with how we are describing people. It is intentional of how we are concerned on how those descriptors and those qualifiers impact people and the circle effect of why we need the qualifiers in the first place. Why I need to say that you are a Black queer man. I have to qualify myself as an articulate Black trans woman for me to be respected. As we are learning language, it is our responsibility to be able to be mindful of how that impacts all people. Consider it.
I'm with you when you write, and I'm with you. I'm with you. Yeah. So this week, y'all do some homework, mm-hmm. learn some new words, mm-hmm. you know, extend, evolve, and elevate. Mm-hmm. Ooh. Mm-hmm. I want to do that.
Extend, evolve, and elevate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
It always.
Yeah.
Well, thank you again for joining New Radio. We love to have you on per usual.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You're a pleasure, my love.
Thank you so much. You know, so y'all make sure to follow Nightly on Twitter and Instagram. Make sure to give me a follow, a like, subscribe on New Radio. It's streaming literally anywhere you can find a podcast. But I look forward to talking to y'all soon.
Bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye, Nightly.
Bye, Kenny.